Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It is only 2 days past Christmas, and the world has already forgotten. In fact, it's interesting because this sermon has been written for quite some time, but I just heard last night that most of the store shelves are completely cleared out of Christmas stuff. All of the stores have literally clearanced their goods. They need to rush Christmas out of the scene because they have to prepare for the next holiday. Now, certainly, there are remnants of Christmas all around us. There are likely a few new things in your home after the recent celebration. There are likely a few new errands that you probably have to get done. But Christmas is a thing of the past for most of the world. However, the same isn't true for the church. The celebration of Jesus continues in the church, not for 1 day, not for 2 days, but for a full 12 days. And this year especially, we even get 2 Sundays of Christmas. Sometimes when Christmas falls earlier in the week, we only get 1 Sunday of Christmas, but we get 2 Sundays of Christmas. Unlike the unbelieving world, we know the importance of the Word of God made flesh, of God coming to dwell in a human form amongst us here on earth. In fact, we know it so well that even after the 12 days of Christmas are over, we transition into a season called Epiphany. And guess what the focus is in Epiphany? The Incarnation. The fact that Jesus becomes flesh for us and how that continues to get revealed to the world. And so today, since it is just the 3rd day of Christmas, we focus on what God gives us as our Christmas gift. On the 3rd day of Christmas, the one true God gave to me freedom from slavery. I even made it rhyme, see? Our epistle text shares these words. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. See, Jesus Christ was born for one very specific purpose. His gift is to deliver us from this world of slavery into the world of sonship. And so first what we have to consider is what was our former way of life under slavery? And we don't have to search hard in the world to discover what this looks like. The principles of slavery, honestly, they're all around us. If you want money, if you want a paycheck, you have to earn it. You have to work hard for the things that you have in this life. Same thing goes for food. If you want to eat, you have to work. You have to earn money. That way you can put something on the table. If you want friends, you have to work at friendship too. Because certainly you know that if you just let a relationship fall by the wayside, you never invest in it, that friendship eventually dies. If you want love, you have to give affection in order to get affection. It's a job. It's work. And so we work, and we work, and we work, and maybe we have to climb some sort of professional ladder along the way, and maybe we try to be super personable with others, and we invest in our relationships, and we try not to ruffle too many feathers, and we want to be easygoing, and we do all of these things in life because this is how we accomplish our goals. This is how we get what we want out of life, by working hard at it. And this is what the world does. We work. And honestly, if we cannot pay the cost, well, what do? But we slave away even harder. We slave away and we keep on trying and trying and we keep working and working until we can eventually pay the cost. This is the way of the world. Because the world understands the law. The law of God works much the same way. It says, do this and don't do that. Love your neighbor. Stop being selfish. Give more of yourself to other people. Strive to live a better life. Work, work, work. Don't get me wrong. The law is good. The law, it keeps us on the straight and narrow. It helps us to live holy lives. In fact, it's what we just confessed in the close of the commandments. Right? We not only follow the law because we fear God's wrath and what he might do if we don't follow his law, but we also follow his law because he has promised us his favor if we do. But as a holy God gives us a holy law, it means that we need to be perfect because God is perfect. The law informs us quite accurately that we can attain God's favor. We can get it if we are perfect. But we're not. The truth is that we cannot pay the cost. We cannot be perfect. And so what do? But we see God's law, and all it is a slavery. Work. Try. Keep trying. Keep working over and over, and we slave on and on throughout our entire lives. In fact, if God were to give us through all of eternity in this earthly life, if he were not to require our lives of us at 100 or 120 or 200, we could slave until the end, which doesn't really exist, and we still wouldn't attain perfection because you can't do it. You can't. And God knows that. And so it was over 2,000 years ago that God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus comes to free us from the slavery to God's law. And he does it by switching places. He gives us a trade. And in fact, it's a very uneven trade. He is God's son. He deserves God's blessing. He is the heir. And what does he do? But he slaves under the law and he fulfills it perfectly. He gives us adoption as sons and daughters of God. He is eternal. What does he do? He chooses to be born of the Virgin, to suffer and die on the cross in our place. Jesus' life on this earth, when from birth until when he was crucified, it was only about 33 years. He could have just stayed in heaven. He could have just avoided death altogether, but he doesn't, because he knows that by his death, he opens up eternal life to you. He was perfect. And yet, what does he do? But he suffers under the burden of your sin. And he gives you his perfection for yourself. That way you can be sinless before God. His blood is shed on the cross. That way your blood is not required at the hands of God. It's not a fair trade. Jesus is perfect. We are not. He is completely obedient to God's law, to the requirements, and he pays the cost because he knew that we were unable to pay it. If we want to use the language from Galatians, it says, he redeems you who were under the law. He buys you. He pays for you with his innocent death and his holy blood. He alone can grant you favor in God's eyes. This is God's gift. This is what you get for Christmas. And it's the gift delivered to you in baptism. It's the gift of the Spirit that is delivered to you when you hear that your sins are forgiven. Jesus makes you sons and daughters of God. And therefore, what should we do with that? Well, we don't go back to slavery. That doesn't make any sense. But instead, we live as sons and daughters. And God gives us a plethora, a multitude of earthly examples of what this actually looks like. And so since we are in Christmas still, you know, when I was a kid, you know, as I got older, my parents would always ask me for a Christmas list. In fact, sometimes they still do. Well, what do you want for Christmas? So, you know, I'll pass over a list of, you know, two or three or four, or when I was younger, probably like six or seven or eight or nine or 10 things I wanted. And my parents would look at the list, and honestly, most of the time, my parents would give me exactly what I asked for. Every single item. But not always. Sometimes I wouldn't get one thing or another, for one reason or another, and sometimes that reason escaped me entirely. And in fact, it's not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year, I would make requests of my parents. Can I have this? And sometimes they would tell me yes, and they would rejoice that I get what I want. And sometimes they would tell me no, because that's not good for you. But this is exactly how God operates with us. And in fact, all the more. Because He is eternal God, because He loves us more than anyone in the entire world. And so what we do is we lift up our requests. We give our list to God. We give our prayers to God. This is what we want. And sometimes God, He gives you what you want, and you're able to rejoice and glorify His name because you got what you wanted. You got what you asked for. And other times, God looks at the list of requests and prayers that you have lifted up to Him, and He goes, well, that's not good for you, and it's not time for you to have this yet, and so you can't have these things. But God has promised us every good thing. That's what it means to be a son or a daughter of God, is that He cares for you. Is that He loves you, and He only gives you the good. This is why, especially when we pray the Lord's Prayer, those first two words are so important. Our Father. Hey, Dad. This is what I need. This is what I want. And as we go to our dear Father as His dear children, in fact, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded that He does grant us good, that He has filled us with sonship or daughtership, and He has made us His children. What a blessed gift. It means you're no longer slaves, but you're sons, your daughters, your heirs through God. You have an inheritance. You have a promise. You have a gift. And honestly, you get to enjoy it now. You don't have to wait till heaven. This is what God has made you at right this very moment. For now, you have the privilege of living a redeemed life. Living as someone who knows you are forgiven. Living as someone who has received everything from God. And in fact, it includes coming to the Lord's table. My parents always fed me. Why would we expect anything different from God? He gives us the food of immortality that strengthens our faith and gives us the power to continue on through this life. You have the promise that God will provide for you with everything. It's the daily bread that we need. And God has promised that He will give it to you. Because He loves you. Because you are His children. All of this is yours now, and yet we still have that heaven to look forward to. We still have eternity where God will care for us the same way He cares for us right now, only then we won't have sin. Only then we will be able to follow His law perfectly and live in His glory and His love and His favor for all time. My friends, God has given you a Christmas gift. In our celebration of this gift, it doesn't last one day, or two, or even three. In fact, it doesn't even last for 12 days, but it lasts every day. As Christians, we get the privilege to celebrate Christ's birth every day, and to know that He has freed us from slavery under the law and given us to be sons and daughters of God. Now, before we put the amen on this sermon, I want to share for you words that you already sang today. This was from our opening hymn. A wondrous change which He does make. He takes our flesh and blood, and He conceals for sinners' sake His majesty of God. He serves that I a Lord may be, a great exchange indeed. Could Jesus' love do more for me to help me in my need? Jesus has done everything for you in making you God's children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.